The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Chinese imports, a threat to green energy manufacturing in the U.S. That message from the Alliance for American Manufacturing. Meanwhile, over 2,000 employees at the University of Michigan join SEIU Healthcare. And today on the show, the National Treasury Employees Union, and the latest from the North Coast Labor Federation. Welcome to the Monday, April 1st edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Doreen Greenwald will be our first guest on the show today. She serves as National President of the National Treasury Employees Union, NTEU.org. As the union's top elected official, Doreen is the spokesperson for the union, representing NTEU with the media, with Congress, and agency leadership on issues important to union members as well as federal employees. She spent her entire career at the IRS, where she worked as a revenue officer and served for 14 years as president of Chapter 1. And I'll tell you, this is one agency that is spread all over government. 35 departments and agencies. NTEU proudly represents law enforcement officers, scientists, attorneys, cybersecurity experts. 35 agencies across the country. They have offices in Washington, field offices in Atlanta, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Denver, New Jersey, and Oakland, California. Lots to talk about. IRS funding. Now, that's been a hot potato in Congress for a number of years now. The good news is the funding has improved dramatically. However, Congress rolled back about $20 billion of the money that was allocated. How will that impact the workforce? We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about solidarity. There was a legislative conference, this was in February, with NTEU and AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. How did that work out? What about telework? Apparently, that's one that some members of Congress don't like, and we'll get into that, plus increasing federal pay. Right now, there is a push to raise the pay of all government workers. I know we talked about this with the American Federation of Government Employees. We'll see how we're faring with the National Treasury Employees Union. So Doreen Greenwald will be our first guest. Then we're going to go to Pat Gallagher on behalf of the North Coast Labor Federation. We're going to get an update on the U.S. Steel merger with Nippon Steel. And last week, Senator Sherrod Brown joined the CEO of Cleveland-Cliffs and the steelworkers to raise the alarm about the potential sale of U.S. Steel to Nippon Steel. Now, Senator Brown has warned against the sale since the announcement, and he's pushing the president to stop the proposed deal. Biden announced he doesn't like it, thinks it's an issue of national security, and it is. It clearly is. And the other part of this, and Pat's going to get into this because he's been involved with the steel industry for almost three decades, and he's been through negotiations with U.S. Steel, and they have not been pretty. And the word is, oh, everybody's going to keep their job. Their track record isn't very good. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about politics. There's a big push in the state of Ohio for something that they hope to get on the ballot in November, and that's citizens, not politicians, which would pretty much end gerrymandering in the state of Ohio. And this would form a commission of 15 people, five Democrats, five Republicans, five independents. No politicians. If you're a politician, you're not allowed. And that group will decide what the district should be in the state of Ohio. And, you know, when those districts change around, good things happen. And I brought this up on the show many, many times. State of Michigan was gerrymandered for years. I mean, many states are. But it took a long time. They finally got through it, and they were able to move legislation forward, like ending right to work in Michigan, which should have never happened in the first place. So Pat Gallagher will be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. $17 billion in assets under advisement, serving the needs of Taft-Hartley funds, corporations, public funds, endowments, foundations, as well as religious organizations. And they've been doing this for almost 100 years, since 1928. BoydWatterson.com. Big message here from the Alliance for American Manufacturing. China's glut of solar panels, electrical vehicles, lithium-ion batteries, all of that threatens to strangle the clean energy manufacturing sector in the United States and destabilize supply chains, not just here, but around the world. This is according to Scott Paul. This is all posted on their website, AmericanManufacturing.org. The organization is urging U.S. government action to prevent a deluge of Chinese imports in its recent report on Chinese autos, including EVs. Now, during a speech at a solar cell factory in Norcross, Georgia, Suniva is the name of the factory, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen asserted that she will push her Chinese counterparts to address their nation's overcapacity when she travels to China this month. Scott Paul says China's overcapacity has already wrecked too many industries in America over the past two decades. Beijing's policies and past administration's hesitancy to appropriately prevent or respond to the threat has left us in a weakened state. Scott points out the U.S. solar manufacturing industry collapsed. This happened about 14 years ago during China's solar panel dumping barrage, thus leading the shuttering of Suniva's factory, Norcross factory. That was in 2017. That same year, Suniva fought back and filed a successful trade case that led to tariffs on solar cells and modules. Those tariffs, coupled with funding from the Inflation Reduction Act, have cleared the way for the company to restart its factory this spring. How about that? It's critical, said Scott, that the Biden administration and Congress proactively deploy existing trade tools and develop new ones to prevent job losses before it's too late. We must also ensure the Chinese companies do not simply use our trade partners as a backdoor to the American market or to distort it by locating minor operations here dependent on the Chinese supply chain in a way that displaces our emerging industries. The latest trade data shows that China is increasingly exploiting Mexico's trade relationship with the U.S. to dodge American duties and tariffs. This has been going on for a while now, especially since we improved relations with Mexico with the USMCA, which is what NAFTA 2.0. So China, instead of dumping it here, they're dumping it in Mexico. Then Mexico is sending it here because they've got a trade deal with the United States. Crazy stuff. You can find more at AmericanManufacturing.org. Over 2,300 employees at the University of Michigan have joined SEIU Healthcare Michigan. One new member explained that the differences in working conditions between the university's unionized and non-unionized employees became more apparent during the pandemic. Now, about 80% of Michigan's medicine staff belong to a union. The new union includes a range of healthcare positions like patient care techs, patient service employees, and phlebotomists. And the Allied Employees Guild Improving SEGA, or AEGIS for short, has won a union contract at SEGA, the first of any major video game company in America. How about that? The contract contains important protections for workers, including a commitment to credit people for games they've worked on. a significant issue in the video game industry. Notably, the workers will also get just cause protection, which is a rarity in the video industry. The protections create a strict set of guidelines for an employer attempting to fire a worker. That union, the Allied Employees Guild, improving SEGA, is partnered with the Communication Workers of America. So congratulations there on what they were able to secure. Always better when you got a union at your back. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Doreen Greenwald, National President of the Treasury Employees Union.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information, America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives. Now more than ever, it's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You could find more at ulagency.org. Let's go to line number one, and welcome back to the show. We always check in with the National Treasury Employees Union once in a while. And Doreen Greenwald took over as president in August of last year. NTEU.org, again, they represent federal workers in 35 departments and agencies. And if you go to that website, you can see all the agencies that they represent. They have about 150,000 strong. Doreen has a background. Well, she's been working a long time at the IRS, and, well, we got tax time right around the corner. And there's been there's been some controversy over funding the IRS in the halls of Congress. We're going to talk about that. Doreen Greenwald, welcome back to America's Workforce. And how are we faring here? You've been president, 9, 10, almost 10 months now. How's everything going in your office there? I know the last time I talked to you, it was a pretty smooth transition with Tony Reardon, but how are we faring right now, Doreen? Let's start right there.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been going very well. You're right. It was a smooth transition and basically hit the ground running and ready to fight for our members. So that's what I've been focused on doing.
And I know you've been dealing with Congress. Now, where are we? I know your background. You worked a long time in the IRS, and I'm just wondering here. There's a lot of money that needs to be collected, and it seems like it. And all government agencies too. We see understaffing going on, and obviously, if you're going to get more agents involved, people working at the IRS, you're going to fill the government coffers. And the there's been a tug of war with the one party, and I think you know what I'm talking about here as far as funding the IRS. Maybe I guess they just don't want them knocking on their door. I don't get the situation, but I know this has become really a hot potato. Where do we stand right now on funding? Can you fill us in?
Sure. So the IRA, which was the Inflation Reduction Act, really set the stage for the IRS to rebuild after decades of being starved for funding. And so any of the reports you've read, you'll see that their technology needs improvement, there hasn't been hiring in years, and one of the best investments the government can make is in the IRS, because the IRS will help, you know, bridge that gap as far as the amount of money that's sitting out there that the government needs to fund it. And so when the parties came together on the Hill and worked out a deal to raise the debt ceiling, part of that IRA funding was reduced by $20 billion. And so that was a huge takeaway from the IRS, because they need every dollar to get them up to current technology standards and to really help them serve the American people. As we saw before the IRA funding, there was so much cuts to the IRS over the years that they struggled. They had a backlog. People couldn't get service. The phone service, when people would call for help during tax time, was minimal. And just in the short years since that funding has been approved, we've seen some amazing increases at the IRS in providing the service Americans rely on.
So right now, we're short $20 billion. My question to you, Doreen, how does that affect the workforce?
Well, right now, the workforce is actually seeing some real improvements with the funding that has been put in place. For years, they've been starved and did not have proper funding. And so the IRS has been using the IRA funding that's available to really improve hiring. They're able to bring on additional assisters to help with tax filing season, as well as right-size the workforce for enforcement purposes as well. So you're going to see more people being hired to do the kind of audits that are necessary, as well as collecting taxes that go unpaid.
Well, what was the original number? Wasn't it like $80 billion and then they shaved off the $20 billion? And I'm still kind of wondering what that's going to mean to the workforce down the road. And I understand Biden is trying to get that money back. Is that right?
You're absolutely correct. So we're very supportive of the president's efforts to restore those funds. Obviously, the $60 billion that are in place now are being used wisely to restaff the IRS and to really have them focus on collecting and filling in that tax gap of the billions that remain unpaid. For the additional funds, you know, we're going to push always to make sure that Congress is properly funding the IRS. It's really foolish to have this dispute, because when you fund the IRS, you're funding the entire government, and it helps support all of the agencies that deliver for the American people.
It's pretty amazing that we're even having this conversation. Like to your point, I mean, you got to fund the government. You got to keep the lights on, and obviously you want to make sure that everybody is getting paid. I want to talk about the push to get higher wages as well. But getting back to that $20 billion, you know what's going on or what's not going on in Congress? I mean, nothing seems to be getting done. Do you think anything is going to be resolved on this issue this year? You throw in, obviously, the elections in November. But you know what's going on here. Do you think anything's going to happen on that?
Well, I support where the president stands. Everything's been rocky as far as getting bills passed in Congress because of the makeup. There's a lot of different forces at play. But when common sense rules, and unfortunately we don't see a lot of that in Congress these days, it makes the most sense to invest in the IRS. And so, you know, our tax system is really renowned in the world, and it's based on a voluntary system. And so you need to have proper funding to provide technology and things and to make sure that you hold people accountable to that system so that people continue to voluntarily, you know, file their returns and pay their taxes when due. And our whole budget for a government depends on the IRS doing its job appropriately. So we're going to keep pushing for that, and I believe the president as well, because I think he understands the value of having a well-staffed and appropriately staffed IRS.
And a well-paid staff. And I know the pay, when it comes to federal workers, there's a big gap between federal workers and the private sector. Let's talk about that, if you will, because I know there's a push to increase pay. I know your brothers and sisters over the American Federation of Government Employees, we're going to talk about that too. They've been pushing this as well. Where do we stand on that? And maybe you can give us that gap that I just referenced here to our listeners. I mean, because it's pretty significant. Doreen, go ahead.
Yeah, it is a significant gap. So the recent numbers it's showing, it's actually increasing. We are up to a gap of over 27% that federal employees are paid less than their counterparts in the private sector. And last year, the Biden administration and what we supported gave the largest federal increase to federal employees in pay at about 5.4%. This year, we're pushing for 7.4%. The reason we are doing that is because we believe that gap has to be decreased going forward. Federal employees need a solid pay raise to decrease that gap as well as keep up with inflation. So that number is based on a 4% across the board plus a locality pay rate that is based on inflation of last year at about 3.5%. And so that's kind of where we're coming from on that. And the federal government needs to be competitive in this labor market. And without paying fair wages to federal employees, it's ridiculous that the federal government can't compete with a Target or a Walmart for many of these jobs.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Are we losing people because of what you just said, because they're not getting the proper pay?
Absolutely. At a time when the government is hiring, we are losing people to other jobs and positions because they can get better pay in the private sector. So they're not even interested in looking at civil service. And you want government employees to be skilled in their labor, and you want these jobs filled so they can perform the work that's necessary for the American people. And so you better believe that if those wages aren't competitive, like I said, with Target or Walmart, we're losing good people to other positions when they would be considering a federal career.
And then there's benefits. I was reading on your website. Website again is NTEU.org. We're speaking with Doreen Greenwald, president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Paid family leave. Do you have paid family leave, or you're fighting for it right now? I just want to be clear on that.
We are fighting for it. We have fought for paid parental leave, and we have that. And now we want to expand it to paid family leave. It's so important in today's economy. We're seeing more and more families not only raising children, but also having a need to care for family members. And households are different than they were 40 years ago. And so we're looking for the federal government to provide benefits for paid family leave.
I gotcha. What about like retirement benefits? Is there a fight going on to reduce that? I know a number of unions have had that struggle. How do we fare with the Treasury Employees Union?
Well, we fight it just like our brothers and sisters at other federal unions. Obviously, the federal government right now offers what is called FERS. That has a Social Security component to it as a retirement system. And then recently they adjusted it over the last couple years to reduce some new people coming in. Obviously, we'd like to see that reduction go away. We'd also like to see the current calculation for retirement continue. And there's always been a push to reduce benefits for retirement. And that's something that, again, to attract and retain the best and the brightest for the workforce, we can't stand for. And we have to make sure those benefits are competitive.
Yeah, that's what we want, the best and the brightest. All right, Doreen, I got to take a quick break. Doreen Greenwald joining us on our live line today. She's president of the National Treasury Employees Union. Again, the website, NTEU.org. We'll continue speaking with her. We'll talk about teleworking and more later in the show. Mr. Pat Gallagher, on behalf of the North Coast Labor Federation, we'll get the latest on that proposed merger between U.S. Steel and Nippon Steel in Japan. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. When you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those 5-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin our featured guest today. That would be Doreen Greenwald, who's president of the National Treasury Employees Union, NTEU.org. And as I indicated at the top of the show, this is a union that's spread all over the federal government. 35 departments and agencies, Department of Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Energy, Health and Human Services, Department of Interior, Treasury. We talked a lot about the IRS. Let's see, my gosh, Federal Communications Commission, the Environmental Protection Agency, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Social Security Administration, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, also Homeland Security. I see Customs and Border Protection. Now, Doreen, that's different from Border Patrol. Am I correct in saying that, Doreen?
You are absolutely correct. We represent the proud men and women in blue that protect our ports of entry and our borders and help with the commerce crossing the borders. They're also responsible for checking cargo and the drug traffic, making sure that illegal drugs are not coming into this country.
Now, are they understaffed as well? We were talking about with the IRS in the first segment, but is it the same situation there?
They are very understaffed, and this is something we would also like Congress and the administration to support. Based on our Customs and Border Protection's own numbers, they need hiring. They're short about 4,500 employees, and that is so necessary to make sure, like I said, that we can keep commerce moving, as well as, you know, there's a high level of concern about fentanyl getting into the country, and without having adequate staffing there, they're stretched to the limits, and they need that kind of hiring to be successful.
Also, Social Security Administration. So the IRS collects the money. The Social Security Administration, you know, they deal it out to so many people that are retired, and there's a lot of them just increasing every day. Same situation there. I know there's been some issues in Social Security as far as staffing as well. Pretty much the same situation there then, right?
I mean, we've seen this across government over the years of just trying to starve agencies from their budgets. And what, you know, a lot of this is just based on a misconception of what is necessary to have an effective and efficient operating government. You want your government to work efficiently. And so having funding that is necessary to support the men and women that work for the federal government, making sure there's proper hiring, that they have the tools necessary, you know, that's to me dollars well spent. That's what taxes are about. And that's about making sure that you have a government that works for the people.
Doreen, if you don't mind, let's switch gears. I want to talk about another agency here, the American Federation of Government Employees, a big union. And I know in February there was a legislative conference, and they, I guess they invited you to speak there. I'd like to hear, I mean, was this a first? Let's start right there, because usually I don't recall. I've been doing the show a long time. I haven't seen anything like this. But was this a first?
It absolutely was a first. For the first time ever, I was invited to speak at AFGE's legislative conference, as well as they were invited to NTU's legislative conference. And so we were pleased to address each other's members, because quite frankly, we're fighting the same fight for our federal employees. And so at a time like this, when every vote matters, every fight matters, we are definitely aligned together to make sure that we accomplish the goals necessary to deliver for federal employees.
So is this something that's probably going to continue in further legislative conferences then?
Well, President Kelly and I, our allies, we are working in solidarity to focus our energy on issues that we align on. And so I don't see that changing anytime soon. We're going to keep working together to deliver. As I said, there's so many issues right now and so many misconceptions about federal employees in general that we have come together to fight to make sure that we're getting the facts out there and are fighting for the things that are necessary to keep our government functioning efficiently and for the American people.
Oh, I know. I know federal employees have been demonized for years. One more question here, teleworking. And I know this popped up during the pandemic, and it's still happening in a number of government agencies. Where are we with teleworking? And I know that there's members in Congress that don't like it. They want everybody to be back in the office. So what's the situation right now, Doreen?
Well, you said that 100% correctly, that there's some who do not see the value in telework. There's others that want to limit it. But I would tell you that from a union that has had telework in its contracts going back to the 90s, telework has been around for a very long time. This is not something that just was created based on the recent pandemic. And we've at NTU have always focused telework based on the ability to perform that work in the same fashion at home. And so with the increases in technology, we find that employees are more productive at home. It is a huge recruiting incentive. We know from the federal data that they are able to get 25% more people interested in positions that offer telework or remote work. And all the data shows it is working. And so we're focused on that. We're going to stand firm on our contracts, and we're going to expand it where necessary because, as I said, where technology continues to improve, the same type of access you have to a computer in the office, you can do from home. And so we're looking to shrink the federal government footprint for real estate, which is a waste of funds, and invest it in the people that deliver for the American people.
There you go. So you have data. You have data on productivity. People are more efficient working for the government at home, but somehow that message isn't translating to the powers that are in office right now. Is that pretty much what I'm hearing?
Well, OPM has been on the Hill sharing that data. I can give you an example. We were talking about the IRS earlier. Prior to the pandemic, we fought to get our phone assisters at IRS to be able to telework. Everything is on their computer. They log in through their computer. They take calls from their computer. They're monitored every minute of every day via their computer. That doesn't change whether they're in the office or at home. We found that during the pandemic, the IRS got funding and was able to supply phone assisters with computers to do just that, work from home. The level of service during the pandemic went from anywhere between 10 to 12% to over 85%. That is just with people on telework. And so I don't need special reports to tell me that telework works. I'm telling you the service that employees were able to provide from their homes increased during a pandemic due to telework. So telework works, and I'm going to stand by telework going forward.
And you have that in your contract then, Doreen?
Absolutely, we do.
There you go. Amazing, just amazing. Doreen Greenwald, President, National Treasury Employees Union, national website, NTEU.org. You can see all the agencies that they represent. You can check them out on Facebook, NTEU National. And you can follow them on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be NTEU News. Okay. Doreen, great job. Thank you so much. Part of me wanted to say that I got a text that Biden is going to increase, he's going to override Congress by executive order, give everybody a 10% pay raise, and then tell you April Fools, because today is April Fools. But
I remember Carter actually got a 10% raise for federal employees back in the late 70s. I wasn't there, but I've done my research. So that would be welcome news to federal employees for sure.
I hear you. But that wasn't April Fool's, though. That was real.
No.
So, all right, Doreen, thank you so much for joining us today. Keep up the great work, and please keep in touch with us. You got a friend here on America's Workforce. We got a lot of reach here. Last time I talked to you, I don't know if you know this, but we're the top 1% of all podcasts now. So last year was explosive. You saw what happened last year with the Teamsters, the UAW, my union, SAG-AFTRA. The Writers Guild. So unions are hot. They're in favor. Let's keep that ball rolling, okay?
I hear you. Thank you for all you do, and I appreciate being on. Thank you.
All right. Okay, you got it. Quick break. Pat Gallagher with the North Coast Labor Federation coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. Now, let's go to line number two. Welcome back a dear friend, longtime supporter of America's Workforce. That would be Pat Gallagher on behalf of the North Coast Labor Federation. Retired from the United Steelworkers. Let's see, it's coming up on June, almost a year. How's that almost retirement going so far for you, Mr. Gallagher?
It's going very well. It's been the stress relief is unbelievable. That's the main thing I noticed. But it's been great. I had a great career, and I got a good union pension, and I'm enjoying retirement.
There you go. End of show right there. Good union pension. That's all we want. All right. Let's talk about the U.S. Steel and Nippon. And it's probably good that you're retired because you'd be in the middle of this controversy right now. And last week, Senator Sherrod Brown, great guy. He met with the CEO of Cleveland Cliffs. I know you wanted to talk about the history of U.S. Steel. And you've had your issues with this company for a number of years. Why don't you give us a little backdoor view of what you had to deal with and your thoughts on this whole thing that's going down right now? Hopefully it's not going to happen, but let's start with the history. Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of history between United Steelworkers Union and U.S. Steel. They were actually the first company that ever recognized us as a union. And Bob Bratlich, who was a director out in Minnesota, he was a U.S. Steel miner. He said that they were first to recognize us, and they've been making us pay for it ever since. So our relationship with U.S. Steel has been controversial through the years. But one thing has really changed recently is that U.S. Steel was a very company that was very, very like, inward. They kept themselves in line. They had executives that were always promoted from within. They never went out. Once you left U.S. Steel as an executive, you could never come back. And even when I went to my first Basic Steel Conference back in the 80s, I was an LTV employee at the time. The U.S. Steel guys, they were really proud of their company, and they were thought they were better than everybody else because they were the biggest, and they thought they were the best, and there was a lot of pride in the company, but that's all changed. Around 2014, I think it was John Surma, who was the last U.S. Steel homegrown CEO, retired. They brought a guy in from Brazil, it's Mario Longhi, who was hired by U.S. Steel, and about a year later, he took over as CEO. So that was like a setup job by the board of directors, we believe. And then he brought in this David Byrd, who's now the CEO. And ever since they've come in, they've really bastardized the company. And our relationship has even been really bad. And it's been an uphill struggle dealing with U.S. Steel for a long time through the facilities out in Lorraine. I represented them for about 20 years. And they decided to shutter them in 2015. So it's been a very difficult time with U.S. Steel through the years.
So this deal with Nippon, were you at all surprised by that? And I bring that up, too, because I know Cleveland Cliffs, which is a pretty decent company. We could talk about that as well. They were part of this deal, and all of a sudden, it seemed like it wasn't going to happen with Cleveland Cliffs. This comes out of the blue with U.S. Steel. Were you taken back by that?
Well, I think it was a setup job by U.S. Steel. The board of directors announced they were going to, get solicited bids for the company, and Cleveland Cliffs put a bid in, and with several other bidders put in, and all of a sudden they had this deal for Nippon, which was twice what the going rate was. So we were a little surprised about that. It was in December. We knew something was up. Nippon's already the fourth biggest steel maker in the world. If they buy U.S. Steel, that'll be pretty close to the second biggest steel making company in the world. So that's very concerning in itself. Besides being a company that's based in Japan and not governed by U.S. laws, and we have a hard time tracking profits, tracking, investments. And we were very concerned about what impacts that would have, not only on, on our members, but also on the domestic defense and the infrastructure products. Steel is a very used commodity. We need it, every day in our country, and it had that much steel controlled by a foreign company is very concerning.
Well, Biden came out against it. I'm just wondering, in your opinion, what that means. Yeah, because you got the president of the United States saying this is not a good thing, especially when it comes to national security. I mean, we're losing a giant steel company here, and we have foreign control.
Yeah, I think that's quite powerful, and that's a great, we really applaud President Biden for his willingness to get involved in this and try to protect the U.S. steel industry. And, Senator Sherrod Brown's also come out with statements supporting, not supporting the purchase by Nippon, so in keeping the steel production in the domestic owner, which is, we believe, is very important, and it's very important to the long-term security of our country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important. Speaking of Senator Brown, I was talking about him recently on this Stop Mexico Steel Surge Act to reinstate the 232 tariffs on steel imports. And, well, there's another one, too, Leveling the Playing Field 2.0. That would strengthen trade remedy laws. This is crazy. Now, Pat, you and I have had many conversations about China. And I was reading earlier about the Alliance for American Manufacturing, and you know that organization because it's affiliated with the steel workers. China is just dumping, dumping, dumping. I mean, in addition to steel, the Alliance said it's solar panels, electric vehicles, lithium ion batteries, and they are sneaky because there's certain laws, obviously, that of dumping in the United States, but don't they go through Mexico and also Canada? Is that right?
Yes, they do. They've been known to have products go to companies that are based in Mexico and based in Canada and actually change the stamps of the country of origin, where they change them to Mexico, they change to Canada, avoid the trade laws and trade sanctions that are against them. This has been a practice that's been going on for 20, 30 years by them, and they're known to be trying to beat the laws and beat the system whenever they can. China has increased its steel production to over 1 billion tons a year. And they're by far the largest steel producer in the world, and all they do, and they're the dirtiest steel producer in the world with the largest, environmental regulations that they violate, and they're heavily subsidized, they're heavily, rampant pollution, unfair dealings, and it's just a problem for the whole steel industry, and they've got to be, monitored and watched, and we've got to have a tight control of it. And I applaud Sherrod Brown for trying to, make this. He's been a great supporter of unfair trade for years and years, and this is just another example of his fight for the American worker.
Yeah. I mentioned Cleveland Cliffs, too, as, the original bidder there for U.S. Steel. Aren't they a pretty clean company? And I was just reading, too, I know this administration is pumping more money into green energy, and they're going to be part of that. But your relationship with them has been pretty good, hasn't it?
Yeah, we have had a good relationship with Cleveland Cliffs. They've done some, they bought the company's steel companies from AK Steel and ArcelorMittal, and they've done a great job investing in some of the facilities and putting some money in there, which we really applaud. You know, you got to remember that U.S. steel, the domestic steel industry, leads the world in clean steel production. So, I mean, we're the ones that are the most cleanest. There's been some EPA regulations that were proposed that actually Senator Brown came against that would put harsh restrictions on the U.S. steel industry. And what people got to remember is, you know, we've got the cleanest industries in the world in steel and refining. But it doesn't matter what we do if the rest of the world is polluting, you know, without any restraints. So we've got to, we've got to make sure that we've got some kind of global commitments on this and not put an undue burden on U.S. manufacturers and producers.
All right, let's switch gears here, if you don't mind. North Coast Labor Federation, very politically active. We got a big election coming up in November. And I know you're going through the candidates right now as we speak. And one of the big issues is this citizens, not politicians deal that they're gathering signatures on. And hopefully that'll most likely it should be on the November ballot. I think we're doing pretty good. We'll get an update from Tim Berger tomorrow on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO. But gerrymandering, boy, that's been a mess in the state of Ohio, isn't it?
Yes, it has. It's been, I think it's a big problem that we have here. It's some of the political division and polarization that we've had. And the citizens, not politicians, ballot initiative, it looks very well. It's gonna get to the ballot. The last report I got, that signature gatherings are good, and we're right on target with our goals. So it should reach November ballot. And I think it'll make a big change in the state of Ohio on representation and hopefully it'll move Ohio forward into the, you know, next period that we have and hopefully help the citizens of Ohio. So.
And the best part about this, Pat, bans current or former politicians, political party officials, and lobbyists from sitting on that commission. So if you held office at any one time, you are not allowed there, okay? You are not allowed on that commission.
And there's going to be an application process, too, reviewed by judges and determine who's the best candidates for this for this committee. And hopefully we can get something done here and get this going as soon as possible in the state of Ohio.
All right. Let's talk about, we just got a couple of minutes left here. Labor 2024, the Ohio AFL-CIO Labor 2024 program. I know you're heavily involved in that. Why don't you just explain briefly how that works, what you actually do to make that happen?
What happens is the Ohio AFL-CIO, in conjunction with the National AFL-CIO, develops a plan that we try to implement in the state to promote candidates and issues that support the causes of working people. I know our number one target in Ohio is going to be Sherrod Brown, getting Sherrod Brown reelected. There's going to be a lot of walks, a lot of phone banking, a lot of talks on Sherrod. Hopefully we can get him reelected, because he's done a great job for working people in Ohio. Example is, you know, his involvement in the steel industry is just one example of that. So that'll be our number one goal. And the second goal, we'll be getting this ballot initiative on the ballot. Plus, we're going to review candidates, some local candidates. We've got some candidates in our area, like Tom Patton, running for Senate in 24th District. We're going to be supporting him and other candidates that we're looking at and going to develop an overall comprehensive plan to try to get our people that support working people elected to political office.
Bottom line on this, doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican, if you support workers, you'll get the support from labor. That's what it's all about.
That's our view. It's about helping and promoting working people in our state. And we need to get candidates who will continue to do that, whether they're Democrat or Republican.
Very good. We'll leave it on that note. Pat Gallagher, on behalf of the North Coast Labor Federation, you take care, stay safe, and we'll do this again down the road. Okay, brother?
Okay. Thank you, Flash.
All right. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, Mr. Tim Berger of the Ohio AFL-CIO. That and more. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group.
find out more information online at labortools.com.